Ah, yeah, okay. Hey! You know, you don't expect that, do you? You know, pastors playing games at church, come on. You know, but it is fun. I can't apologize for where it lands or what you're doing. And fortunately for your benefit, I'm all out of discs. Sometimes we don't know our Christian walk what's going to hit us, right? We don't know what to expect. It comes up from the rear, so to speak, and we just don't know what's happening. We need to understand that we need to be guarded against the enemy with wisdom, right? And that's kind of the similarity there. But if you go on a more serious note and you think about what our nation, along with other nations, have gathered together to fight against ISIS and its threat to the world around, and that we need to be taking the offensive stance to the enemy and not be blindsided to what the enemy is doing in our world, right? Well, I think just as seriously as we know the threat of ISIS and all that stuff within our global situation, just as sure as you know that that's a reality and it's strong, it's an ugly thing, so is our spiritual warfare. We need to not just know that it's there, but we need to know what to do about what's there in our spiritual battle and be aware of the enemy's tactics and how to guard against it. And I know that sounds very basic and very simple for us as Christians, but we need to be reminded of some things because Satan is crafty and subtle, and he will work his way in ways that we don't expect to get us off guard. You know, if you knew I was going to shoot those discs at you this morning, you may have figured out how to stop that. Obviously, remove the bag or wear shields or move out of the way or whatever, but we need to be mindful of the seriousness of the threat of the enemy, whether it be the physical enemy in our world today or the spiritual enemy that we face on a daily endeavor, right? So let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for each one here. I do pray, Father, please, that you will accomplish what you want to accomplish, what you intend, Father, through this message. My heart's desire is that you would preach it, and in addition to that, Father, my desire is that your presence and your power would be made known, and that each person hears, that their heart would hear what you have for them on their own, in their own personal life, and that they would walk away feeling fed spiritually and challenged in you and drawn closer to you. Do your work, Father. I yield it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First thing I want us to consider is to shake your mind from the enemy attack. Think about shaking. I kept thinking, what can I do for an object lesson that would illustrate shaking your mind from the enemy attack? And unfortunately, the only thing I could think of is my dog shaking off, or your dog shaking off after getting out of the ocean or the pool or whatever and throwing the water everywhere, you know, with that type of intensity and intention of shaking off what the enemy has so quickly thrown our way and attached to us. And I don't think sometimes we understand what things are really attacked or attached to us that interfere with our ability to be objectively in defense against the enemy so that we can keep a keen spiritual eye as we walk with Jesus. And that's what God wants us to do. So in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." I think we've established that this morning in a very light, general, but obvious manner, that we don't wrestle against just the world and global issues, but against the spiritual warfare in our life. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." That verse alone, I love that in itself, because the fact is that whatever stronghold you or I face in our Christian walk, whatever confronts us, it seems to be too big, too large, too attached to our life, we can shake it off by the power of God. We can let loose of it. We can be free of those things that Satan has interwoven into our life to just wrap onto us and cling to us. And so I love that verse, because through the power of God, we are able to pull down the strongholds that we face in our own personal walk. Verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." How active are you in casting down arguments? I'm not talking about, per se, a personal conversation with somebody, although that's a possibility if they're standing against God. But how active are you and I in analyzing what information, what data is being presented to us through social network, through television, through the world that we live in? In every area, Satan is throwing stuff at us. Are we just allowing it to be thrown at us to just adhere to us and not really acknowledge it, not really identify it, not really deal with it? And then, and that fact, if we're not looking at it by acknowledging it and dealing with it as these concepts and these principles of the world that we live in are thrown at us, if we're not analyzing it spiritually, then what we're doing is we're allowing it to interfere in our perspective on life, to where we start adopting what the world is putting at us instead of evaluating it and identifying what God says is right and what God says is wrong. You know, when we look at God's word and say, well, that's just not of God. And we know that, and we have nothing to do with that. That's just the way of the world and how the world thinks. When my kids were coming home from school or wherever, you know, we would ask them, what did you learn today? What did you experience today? What confronted you today with your own peers, all these types of things. And we would look at them and we would talk with them about what they were receiving. And watching television, one of the great memories that I had with our kids was, well, you know, let's discuss that a little bit. What are you getting from that that's not of God? And what do you get of that could honor God? And they would begin saying, well, that's not right. God says this. I said, that's right. Start looking at it in a real way of identifying, you know, my video games and my whatever is coming my way. Is it pleasing to God? And then we have to ask ourselves, is that really important to us in our personal walk? I mean, do we really want to please God just by external action, or do we want to please God by the internal heart of who we are and all that we are, that in everything we are, we're seeking to honor God? And that's a decision that we have to make. And so that's what's happening here. He's saying pulling down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You got the point? That's what I'm reminded of. Constantly evaluate, based upon the authority of God's word, what is acceptable, what's not acceptable, and then how to deal with it, so that it doesn't cripple our spiritual walk. To put it in real basic terms, so it doesn't interfere with the intimacy that God wants to have with us and us with Him in our daily walk. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every day, when something pops in my head that shouldn't pop in my head, I do my very best to acknowledge it before God and say, God, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me. I want nothing to do with that. I renounce that in the name of Jesus. I'm renouncing. I'm wiping my hands to it. I'm shunning it completely. Not only seeking your forgiveness, but I've made that commitment to do so. And I keep doing that until I gain some control over that thought. It could come right back and let's do it again, because that's the warfare. That's the enemy just keeping on hitting and jabbing. And, oh yeah, you think you got strong faith? Well, let's just see what you do when I hit you again with it. Do we just fold and say, well, it didn't work? No, you keep persistent in your faith and how you deal with what comes in your mind. And remember, the mind is the heart, or the bowel, as Scripture would say, and that is the birthplace of what and how we think, and what it will germinate into in our life. And so in 1 Peter 1:13 it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up. You know what gird up means? In the Old Testament, they gird up their loins. What's the loins? So right here, pull up your pants. Some of you guys might have heard, pull up your pants and be a man. You know? Just get your act together and stop wimping out. Deal with it. That type of a thing. Gird up your loins. Well, this is to gird up your mind, how we think. that there's a deliberate decision and action in our own heart of heart to say, I hear what's coming my way, and I deliberately in Christ Jesus know, based upon his word and the conviction of my spirit and my heart by God, that that's not right, and I will take whatever effort I have to resist that in Christ and say, I don't want that. I don't want to deal with that. And if I, you know, and then we confess or we repent or we acknowledge and walk away. But whatever it takes to gird up our mind to stand against that which is coming our way. And we know we live in a world where stuff is coming our way all of the time. In Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, that's a phenomenal verse. That is an amazing verse. Because it's saying that you and I, as sinful human beings with our sinful nature, because we are made new in Christ, new creatures in Christ, uniquely peculiar, one of a kind in Christ Jesus, made directly by God's hand when we received him as our Savior, we became completely new. And in that, God says, you can have the understanding and the insight and the wisdom that comes from the throne of God in heaven who reigns all things, which far supersedes the wisdom and the power and authority of the world, or even the unseen world that we live in. The choice is ours. Do we want the mind of Christ? Do we want to think as God thinks? You think, well, Pastor, that's a little bit absurd. I'm not saying becoming gods. I'm saying learn to think in a way that God approves of, that God likes. Not just so that we can say, well, okay, God likes that and proves that, because when we align our thoughts, we gird our thoughts up, and we line our thoughts up to God, and we yield our life that way, what happens to our spiritual walk with Jesus? It gets more intimate. We're more keenly aware of the spiritual warfare and our relationship with Christ, and we begin to come to a realization that, you know, God is real in my life. We know that intellectually. We know because we receive them. But when we see the interaction of Christ in our life becoming more and more evident, and our love for him becoming more and more evident as well, his love for us, that becomes something that's extremely precious to us that we want to guard and not let down the guard and allow ourselves to be drawn away from him in that fellowship. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24, it says, now may the God of peace. I love that. What's the world look at God like? God, you just want to rob me. You just want to take joy out of my life. You're just full of rolls of yes and no's and don'ts and all that stuff. You just want to quench and squelch my life and rob me of life. No, Jesus said the thief comes but to rob and to destroy and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life abundantly. That's John 10:10. So when we approach God, we know that we're approaching him, that's a good thing, that he'll give us the peace that we need in our heart as we walk through the journey of the life that we have here. So now may the God of peace himself sanctify. What's that word sanctify mean? To separate or to be pulled out, set apart for God. We have to cognitively and spiritually acknowledge before God that we want to be separate from the world. We want to pull out from the world. We want to be distinctly unique as God's vessel. But we have to make that mindset that I'm not going to take the garbage that the world teaches that contrary to the Word of God. I'm not going to allow my mind to be infiltrated with stuff that only interferes with my relationship with Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves, is that really the priority of our life? Is that what we want? Because when we're at that place in our spiritual walk where Jesus becomes one first in our life, then everything else is secondary, and we guard against that which interferes with our relationship with God. Now the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, your soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a distinct, you can go back to Genesis and you can see when God breathed life into Adam, that was his spirit. And then there's the soul, the individual, the mind, the will, and the emotion of the individual. There's the physical, there's the character, And there's the life of the person. And in that, all of that combined, even though that's hard for us to wrap our minds around, God expects us and calls us in His Word, if we're serious about being followers of Christ, to keep our bodies doing what God would have it to do, our mind in check with God, girding our mind, and our spirit in fellowship with God. Because God wants to bless you and me as we live for Him. He wants us to know the fullness of the peace and the joy and the power and the person and the love and all the wonderful attributes of God in our life, Jesus in our life. He calls you, He who calls you, God has called you if you're a believer. That's an amazing thing. God has called you what? To be sanctified, set apart for Him. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. God will do His work in your life. Reading that verse one more time. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Do what? He will bring all of us, what we're made up of, into full subjection to Him. One day, we'll be in heaven with a new body that isn't going to decay. One day, we'll be in heaven in eternity forward where the presence of sin is no longer in our presence. One day, we'll be living with God in a new heaven and a new earth where we have no sinful nature anymore. See, God will bring that to completion. But in the meantime, God calls us to reflect who He is. He's our God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. If we make the choice to receive Him, if we make the choice to allow Him to be Lord of our life and not just Savior, and to understand the value of that. In your little handout, the insert, the little filling for section one, filling in the blanks, think as God wants you to think, honoring Him. Think as God wants you to think, honoring Him. That's a choice. We either choose to accept the world and how the world thinks, or we choose to accept the Word of God and how God thinks. And there are mainstream churches that are not accepting the truth of what God says, but are accepting what the world is saying is right. Things that are incredibly offensive to God. And we have to make the choice. The second point I want us to look at is that the enemy wants to control what you think. Well, I mean, think what he's throwing at us. Think what we see in Hollywood thrown at us. Think about all the stuff. I mean, we could become compressed and overwhelmed with the reality of the stuff that's thrown at us that is contrary to the Word of God. But you and I are God's children. You and I are the light and the salt that God has designed to shine in this world. And a lot of times I look at it like when you look at the stars at night and cling and you see how beautiful and clear they are. That's you and I as believers representing the light of Christ in a world of darkness. The enemy wants to control what you think. Romans 8, 6 through 8 says, for to be carnally minded, what's carnally? To be worldly, to seek the desire of our own flesh rather than the desire of God, the Holy Spirit in our life. Okay? Seeking our own priorities, not seeking God's priorities. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The world teaches if you go our direction, you're going to have the fullness and the richness of life. And how many people, that just as a hypothetical illustration, do you know that are full of materialism, full of the things of life, full of power in life, full of all this stuff, but don't have joy? Excuse me, those of you that are old enough to remember Howard Hughes, he died not just a rich man, but a very miserable man. And so we know that the materialism and the power and the authority and all these things does not bring us the joy and the peace that God wants us to know that can only come through Him. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, that means hatred against God. So whenever you and I choose to follow the way of our flesh and our own satisfaction and the ways of the world, what we're essentially doing as a believer is we're acting in a way that is as an enemy toward God. Scripture says that at one time all of us were enemies of God before we knew him as our Savior. We didn't even know we're enemies of God. We didn't even know that the spiritual father of our life was Satan at that time. And that sounds pretty bold and harsh and rash, but that's a reality of a spiritual truth. Without God in our life, without surrender in our life, without that acknowledging of Jesus in our life, then we're not following God, nor can we do the things that please God outside of God as a non-believer. Therefore, the person that influences us the most spiritually in the world without Christ is Satan, who's the prince of the air of this world, who throws all this stuff at us all the time. And as the stuff sticks to us, we need to be able to analyze that stuff and let go of it, get rid of it, shake it off, put it off, and be what God wants us to be as his people. Because the cardinal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. In other words, if you follow the flesh and the way of the world, if you follow your own desires that are opposing to God, there is no way that we can please God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So the first thing that you and I as Christians have to identify that will help us to stand against the fiery darts of Satan, the wickedness of the world around us, is you have to ask, and I have to ask, what mindset do we have? Do we think carnally? Do we think, what do I need? Do we think about the flesh and satisfying our own flesh? Do we think about the world and what the world pressures us to be somebody or be successful? Or do we think about what God desires, denying ourselves and living for God, dying to ourselves and living for God, learning to know the fullness and the joy and the peace and the goodness and the richness of the intimacy of the relationship with Jesus is far greater than following our flesh. So right now you need to ask yourself in your own mind, if you want to, what am I more prone to do? To follow the Spirit of God? Or to have a spiritual mind? Or are you more prone to follow the ways of the world and your own fleshly desires? The carnal mind. When we identify that, that'll help us to make the stand that you and I need to make for Jesus, in Jesus, and through Jesus for his glory. When we make the commitment to say, you know what, my mindset, my heart, the bowels from the depths of who I am, to the center of who I am, to the intellect of who I am, is focused on my relationship with Jesus. I was talking to a young pastor yesterday, and I asked him, I said, you know, what's success? And he explained success, and it was basically what I've always said. Success for the Christian is living obediently to the will of God in your life, all the way to the end of the journey of this life. That's success. Not what the world defines as success. Matthew 22:37-38 says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And you find that in Deuteronomy 6 as well. You see the makeup of who we are. All you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's a determination that says that nothing is off ground for God. Everything is given to God. Everything is open for God to work and to transform and to make new in Jesus by my choice, yielding my life to God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, love with all you are. Adding those few words at the end there. And then Proverbs 23:7, the first part of that verse says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And then the question or the statement is, you are what you think. What do you think? If you were to examine your heart, where is your heart centered? Where is your love centered? Where is your top priority centered? Where is your life centered on? Jesus? Or anything outside of what Jesus wants? That's the question. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 7:1 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And they're usually counseling people for marriage that, you know, I tell them, if you're not both Christians, I can't marry you. I can marry two non-believers. What's the point? Go. Why are you feeling for God's blessing? You're not going to get that, you know, if you reject them, right? So, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? The closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize that the things of the world that we engage in really is in total contradiction to our relationship with Christ, and there's no real fellowship, there's no compromise there. Should not to be. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Does that mean you can't be friends with a non-believer? No. But it means that if you're serious about following Christ, you can't have an intimate relationship. And what I mean by intimate, meaning a close friendship with a non-believer, because your value systems are different. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are of the living God, as God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate." Sanctified is the word, says the Lord. "Do not touch what is unclean. I will be a father to you." The product of coming out from the way of the world and guarding yourself against the stuff that Satan throws against us and yielding ourselves to the truth of God's word is that we're understanding the intimacy of what it means to have a heavenly Father who loves us. "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters," says the Lord Almighty. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves." That's a decision. That's an action. That's an offensive, not offensive. What's the word? Defensive act in our spiritual walk. Meaning, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness, sanctification, separation, commitment to God, because you fear Him. He's your God. He said, well, if He's your loving Heavenly Father, why should you live in fear? It's not because God wants us to live in fear of Him. He wants us to know that living outside of His will for you, you need to be afraid of that. Because you're His children. You're part of His body. And God disciplines His children just as we discipline our own. Cleanse yourself as God's children. So you have to, you know, like, you know what I was talking about in the beginning? Thoughts are coming in my head. So, oh, Lord, I confess, I repent of that, I renounce that type thing. Throughout the day, actively keep yourself cleansed from the things that come at you. That's part of the tactic. Because the reason why the mind is the centerpiece, the center place of our relationship with God. I don't have a relationship with God outside of my mind, how I think, do I? I mean, how do you relate to Jesus in your life? It's how we're processing and thinking about the reality that He's alive and He's here, that they have a relationship with Him, and how He leads us and teaches us or convicts us, and how our hearts love Him and respond to Him. This is all cognitive thinking here on a spiritual level. And if we allow the stuff to come our way and we don't process it through the truth of God's word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then what we're doing is we're allowing stuff to enter into our mind that will interfere with us being as close to Jesus as God intends for us to be close to Him. And so you start thinking about all the stuff that comes our way, you think it's an impossibility. No. As we walk through the course of each day, God gives us the grace and the understanding to know what isn't right and what is right, and to yield to Him because we love Him in our relationship with Him. Fill in the blank in your insert for this section too. Satan battles, does he not battle against you? To enter the mind, That center part of who we are, because it is the entrance to the Spirit where we fellowship with God. We might excuse things, oh, it's just a game. It's just a video. It's just a movie. It's just a horror film. It's just whatever. But what we're letting in is Satan's battlefield of the mind, the heart, the bowels, the depth of who we are that will cling to how we think, that will interfere with the truth and the relationship of God in our life. That's the strategy. Let's get into your mind. Let's get into your thinking. Let's get it rerouted against the ways of God. And the process is you have this thinking that is combating God instead of wise that combats against the enemy. It's a choice. It's a choice. And lastly, fiery darts are from the enemy. We know this passage, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We do not have to do this, and we're not intended to do this. We are not able to do this. That is girding our mind, keeping our mind clear of the clutter and focused on God outside of God. We can't. But in God, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit, we can. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the fiery darts. You know, the interesting thing about fiery darts is that it's bad enough to think that you're shot with an arrow and you get pierced by an arrow. But let's say the arrow's on fire and it cuts into your flesh. It's going to, don't like that thought, right? And that's how Satan hits. He hits with fiery darts with intents to cause incredible pain. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I have to ask you the question, do you wrestle with these things? If you don't, then you're walking in the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit in step with Jesus, you're going to find yourself wrestling against the evil and the attacks of the enemy. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all you can, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all that you are. Love him. Be that committed to him. Do everything that you know to do in Christ, through Christ, to stand. Do all you can in Christ to stand. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you know the mainstream churches today that have pulled out supporting Israel because it's too controversial? Mainstream churches today that adopt gay marriage and even gay priests and gay all this stuff into the church for the sake of compromise because of the world? All that stuff and much more is not walking in the Spirit. It's walking in the flesh. It's being carnal, not spiritual. And the enemy, you think the enemy doesn't want to attack the church? That's one of the first places he wants to hit. And when the church stands up against the truth, against the evil of the world by standing on the truth, it's rejected by the world. But it's honored by God. As you and I are honored by God as we stand to the truth of his word, bring every thought captive to Jesus Christ. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every day, moment by moment, as you walk with Jesus, you know, it's not as belaboring as it may sound from up here. As we walk with Jesus, if something comes into our mind that we know that's not right, deal with it. Confess, repent, deal with it, guard against it, have nothing to do with it, and go on. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 and 2, it says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. See, when we're standing on the rock of Jesus, we're not easily shaken. When we stand on truth, we're not shaken. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. by the stuff that's thrown our way, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Do not be shaken in mind. What's he mean by spirit, word, or letter? A fraudulent spirit, a lying spirit, a deceitful spirit. Satan or his demons, the principalities and powers of the dark things of this world that are unseen, that's the spiritual realm, will throw stuff in our head to convince us that the way of the world is better than the way of God. And they'll make it sound beautiful. It's because of love. It's because of kindness. It's because of, you know, and just fill in all the blanks. And all to convince us to stand where God says not to stand. See, the spirit, fraudulent. There's the demonic spirits that actually try to throw and change our thinking process. By word, a false report by word. The documents show it that this is all fill in the blank, proven as being such, to support that which God says is wrong. Put any topic you want in there that opposes God. That was a false written document or letter. And then the second one is what people say to you. That's not love. Love is standing true to God and His Word and knowing that you're going to take the heat for it. That's loving God. And what's the reason why God wants us to stand on the truth of His Word, even though it's not accepted by the world? So that they can know peace and joy and love and a relationship that's close and intimate with God. Let me close with just a little filler, the last part of your insert. It's longer. So how do we strengthen and focus our mind, our heart, our mind, our soul, our bow on God? We allow our mind to be vulnerable when we are not being renewed in Christ through the Word of God and when we are not steadfastly trusting in God. Are you reading your Bible? It's not a religious act. It's a practicality for those that are serious about following Jesus. Read your Bible. Be in the Word. Be renewed by the Word. The transforming power of God's Word. Let God speak to you. And trust God. Continuously, steadfastly, trust God. We allow our mind to be vulnerable when we are not being renewed in Christ through the Word of God and when we are not steadfastly trusting in God. Guard against rejecting the authority of God. The world will teach. Mainstream theology will teach to be against the truth or the authority of God's Word. Guard against rejecting the authority of God and His Word. Doing so can lead you to doubt, unbelief, and skepticism. Why? Because your mind is at war with the truth of God's Word and what's coming your way. And if you don't guard against what's coming your way, you start reasoning out, well, God wouldn't want this, and God would accept this, and we become watered down and unsure. And then lastly, strengthen your spirit, that inner being of who we are. Strengthen your spirit by being in the Word of God, by being in prayer, and by having fellowship with other believers in Christ. Are you reading your Bible on a regular basis? Do you spend time with God in prayer besides on the run? Time separate with Him? When I first became a Christian, I said, okay, God, I'll give you 5 minutes of prayer time and 10 minutes of study. But be careful. Don't make a vow to God unless you mean it. Strengthen your spirit by being in the Word of God, by being in prayer, and by having fellowship with other believers in Christ. In concluding this, 4 points. Shake your mind from the enemy attack. Don't let it adhere to you. Be in control of what you think. Stand on the Word, the rock. Avoid the fiery darts of the enemy. Know the tactics. Think as God thinks. Make that choice. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for each one here, but most of all, thank you for being here, and thank you for the power and authority of your word. Help us as your children, Father, to love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And Father, as each day has enough evil in it, help us to look for your grace and your power to stand against the wiles or fiery darts of Satan. And help us to walk each day in victory with you in that close, loving, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.